자, 'You understood everything, huh? Unpleasant feelings. Dukkha Vedana. Dukkha is the first noble truth. And it is also the motivation. I mean, it used to be the motivation to come here to the monastery to take up practice. And after a while, you know, it doesn't seem to be our motivation, because we have a way, you know, how to avoid to see Dukkha Vedana. I mean, there's the Dukkha Vedana that comes from the body, yeah? When the body is hungry or needs some food, you know, I mean, this is a form of dissatisfaction. Yeah? So we eat something, you know, and then the body is satisfied, yeah, for a while. Yeah? Or we are thirsty, we drink something, so the body is satisfied. And the same thing with sleeping. Yeah? But these kind of bodily feelings, yeah, that the body sends out, you know, for us to take care of the body, can be also used by the kilesas, you know, for some dukkha vedana that comes from our heart. Yeah? We are not happy with something, you know, so we eat something. Yeah? And then because we eat something, you know, the feeling of unhappiness, you know, damps down a little bit, you know, and then we think this is the way, you know, to get rid of our unhappy feeling. But it's not. It's not caused by the body. We need to separate that out. It's not caused by the body, it's caused by the citta, yeah, by our heart, yeah, by our heart that doesn't feel comfortable. So a lot of people, especially in the West, you know, when you see, you know, I mean, they eat a lot, you know, to damp down their unpleasant feelings. Or other people do a lot, you know, to damp down their unpleasant feelings. That is also a way. So we have to be able to distinguish, you know, what comes really from the body. And we know by now, I mean, eating once a day, you know, is more than enough. Yeah? Even eating once a week, you know, can be enough. Yeah? Or once every 2 or 3 days can be enough. If we did some fasting before, I mean, we can see, you know, there's nothing wrong. You know, I mean, we live in a climate where we don't really need to eat a lot. Yeah. So hunger is not, you know, not produced by the body, but it is a mental feeling of not feeling well. Yeah? I mean, we have to think about the body, investigate the body, you know, and investigate the heart, you know, what it makes, yeah? What it does with the body. Yeah? I mean, last time, you know, the last times I talk about, we should reflect about death. Yeah. We also should reflect about being born, yeah? Being born, you know, we are born to die, yeah? So, I mean, when we are born, we are going to die. When we are not born, we are not going to die. When we appear, you know, in the human realm, animal realm, we are born. Yeah? And then what do we do in the human realm, in the animal realm? I mean, we can watch with the new puppies, you know, that come, yeah? They learn, you know, they learn how to control this body that they have, yeah? I mean, their citta is the same as ours, yeah? And each time, you know, each time we have a new human body, you know, we have to train it. I mean, we had a body, you know, human body, you know, for millions of lives, yeah? But each time it comes out of the womb, we have to train it, yeah? I mean, first we train how to digest, then we train, you know, how to move the body, then we train to walk, then we train to talk, then we train to think, then we train to read and write, yeah, and then we train the higher thinking until the age of 15, where the body has grown up, you know, where we can use the strength, yeah? And then we can use it for 30 years with pretty much full strength, and then it starts to decay. That is the life of a body. We should reflect about it, yeah? I mean, the next life is coming, yeah? If we don't put an end to it, then the next life as a human being is coming. even if we become a sotapanna, you know, I mean, we still have the opportunity to have 7 more human lives, yeah? And each life has the dukkha of the body. But the dukkha of the body is actually, you know, quite less, you know, to the dukkha of the heart. Eh? And the dukkha of the heart, we have to investigate, where is it coming from? Eh? For instance, when we sit in samadhi, and where is the dukkha coming from? It's not coming from the body. Eh? It's coming from the heart. The dukkha of the body, you know, I mean, the kilesas are very clever, because, I mean, they have, you know, just the power over the body, over the feelings, over thought and over memories, just like, you know, just like the Dhamma has, yeah? So it produces some bodily feelings and we think it is the body, yeah? But it's not. It's a kilesa who produces. That's why we have to investigate dukkha vedana, yeah? And how do we investigate dukkha vedana? I mean, we go to the point, you know, when we can't concentrate on our Buddha or on our breath anymore, then we go to the point where we feel the pain to be strongest. And then we stick our concentration, yeah? We nail it to this point, you know, and then we start to investigate it by asking the right questions. What is dukkha vedana? How does it feel like, yeah? Is it constant? Is it changing, yeah? Is it point-wise? Is it area-wise? And where actually is it located? That's how we investigate dukkha vedana. Where is it located? Is it in the skin? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the bones? Is it in the tendons? Yeah? Where is it? Yeah? And don't get, you know, don't believe the answers that are coming up. Yeah? I mean, yes, it is in the muscles because I'm sitting uncomfortable. Yeah? That's not the question. That is not the answer that we are looking for. We're looking for the answer to understand what is dukkha vedana, what is the feeling of pain. Because if you remember all our lives, there were two main main movers of our heart, you know, and that is pain and fear. Yeah? We are afraid of something, so we don't do it, yeah, or we run away from fear. And there's the other thing, we run away from pain. Yeah? We always run away from pain, yeah, we don't want to feel the pain. And that's why, as a meditator or as a practitioner, we have to feel the pain. We have to feel it. Where is it? Or what actually is pain? And that is just the first. That is just the first investigation of feelings. Yeah. Be it bodily feelings or mental feelings. If we know how to investigate pain, we can investigate all the other feelings as well. But we have to ask the right questions and don't listen to the answers that the kilesas bring up. They sound very rational, they sound very logical, but that is how they deceive us. If we believe one of these rational thoughts or logical thoughts, you know, we are deceived. We still don't understand what is pain. How does it feel like? Where is it? Yeah? Because if you do this pain investigation correctly, then the pain, yeah, in the beginning, when we do it in the beginning, you know, for the first few times, the moment we concentrate on the pain is gone. Yeah? But so, you know, after a while, you know, the pain will not be gone. So then we can ask the right question. What is pain? How does it feel like? And then really embrace the pain. Embrace the pain, you know, and feel the pain and see that it is nothing that we need to run away from. Huh? That is the important thing. We have to embrace the pain. Huh? We don't need to run away from pain. There is pain. We are not the pain. Now use the principle of anatta. We are not these things that appear in front of our eyes. Huh? Everyone knows that, you know, when he sits in a movie theater, that he is not the person, huh? On the screen, but we still cry. I mean, sometimes we cry very much, yeah? We still laugh, we still get angry, and so on, but it has nothing whatsoever to do with us. Huh? Remember it, yeah? I mean, all of you probably went to the cinema and watched movies, yeah? Or if it wasn't, you know, in the cinema, at least it was at the TV, yeah? And nowadays it is on our smartphones. Eh? You are not the things. But the association with the things that are happening in the movie on the screen, you know, is the same thing as the association that we have with the thoughts and the memories and the feelings that come up. But who sees these feelings? Yeah? This principle of anatta is very important, you know, in our investigation of pain. Yeah? It's not me. There is pain. We don't say, I feel pain, yeah? Or I'm in pain, or the pain is too much. I mean, what does it mean, it's too much? There is pain, yeah, look at it. Yeah, yes, it gets stronger, then it gets weaker, then it gets stronger again, then it's weaker. Sometimes it it's an area-wise, sometimes it, you know, it's just a point-wise, yeah. The more pointed the pain is, you know, the more stronger the pain is. Yeah? If it is an area, then it gets weaker. So look at it and ask yourself, what is pain? Yeah? And why did I run all the way, all my life away from this pain? Yeah? I mean, I can watch it, I can observe it, I'm not the pain. Yeah? There's an observer and there's the pain. Yeah? And then I ask the question, then I ask the right question, where is it located? Yeah? First, of course, I ask, you know, is it point-wise, is it changing, and so on. And then I ask, where is it located? Is it located in the skin? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the muscles? Huh? Where is it? Yeah? In the moment we come close to the truth, yeah, then this pain, you know, that was in our left knee, you know, changes and goes to the right knee. And in the left knee there is no more pain. What? How did that happen? Did it ever happen to us in our life that the pain suddenly disappeared and appeared in somewhere else? Yeah, I mean, this must be a magic spook. Yeah? So, yeah, what do we do? You know, we go to the next point. Yeah? So where the pain is there, very strong. Yeah? And then we investigate in the same time, yeah, until it disappears and reappears somewhere else. Then we go to that point, yeah, until it investigated in the same time, until it disappears and reappears somewhere else, until it finally shows us where it's coming from, yeah. I mean, we all know it, where it's coming from, but, you know, this is not the solution. We have to actually follow, we have to actually see how it is working. Only if we see every step of how it is working, you know, I mean, we are not fooled by it anymore. If we just know it's coming from the heart, it doesn't help us, you know. The pain is still there and the pain is still unbearable. Yeah? If you know it's coming from the kilesas, you know, it doesn't help us anyway. All of our knowing, you know, of the teaching, yeah. And it doesn't help us, you know, when we actually sit in meditation, yeah, because we have to experience the truth. Yeah? We have to. Yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, quite often, yeah, if we want to overcome dukkha, we have to go through the fires of dukkha, or we have to go through the fires of hell if we want to overcome hell. And hell is even worse than the dukkha vedana that we experience. We have to go through these things and experience and see them for what they are. Is that clear? See them. Be it pain or be it, you know, be it the fear. See them for what they are. They are just phenomena that appear and disappear. They are brought up by the kilesas most of the time. They are brought up by the kilesas, yeah? To make us succumb to them. Yeah? And this is something that we have to understand. Yeah? We do have to understand that these things appear. Huh? But we also have to use this principle of anatta. Yeah? That's not me. Whatever appears in front of my inner screen is not me. It's not mine. It's not myself. If you don't believe it, you know, I mean, check back, you know, check back in your memories when you watch an interesting movie, you know, what happened, yeah? Why do you laugh? Why do you cry, yeah? And sometimes we cry very hard, yeah? Because we associate with the person, yeah? Sometimes we get very angry because we associate with the person, yeah? That is treated unfairly, you know, or treated, you know, treated violently, you know, yeah? But the same thing happens when we close our eyes, yeah? We associate it or we attach to the feelings that come up, we attach to the thoughts come up, and we believe we are these thoughts.
Yeah?
Instead of reflecting wisely, the thought that I had, just now, I had a different thought a year ago.
Yeah?
I changed my mind. Huh? Isn't that an expression that we sometimes use? I changed my mind.
Yeah?
So which mind is you? Huh? The mind of a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 15 years ago, or the mind that is right now. And the mind, or the belief, what you are and how you are of right now will change in a few days or in a few months, in no time. Yeah? Then you believe you're something else. Yeah? So who are you? You're none of these things that you associate with. Huh? This is the sanya khanda, yeah? The khanda of memory and association. Yeah? We associate with these things and think these are me, there's mine, and no. But we know, we can't change them. They are just phenomena arising and ceasing, and they have their own nature, and through our investigation, we get down to the understanding of how they work. Yeah? Just like with the watch, yeah? We open it up and see, see the five wheels turning, yeah? One wheel turns the others, the five, just like the five khandhas, yeah? Sense impression comes in, a memory associated with sound, yeah? And then the memory looks, what kind of sound is it? Is it a squirrel? Is it a snake? Is it a rat or whatever? Is it a human being? Is it talking? And then when it is talking, what language is it? Yeah, it's all memory function. In the end, it will tell us. So it goes pretty quickly. It's pattern matching. Yeah. And pattern matching, as we understand in computer science, it's not always giving us the right answer. So our pattern matching, not always give us the right answer. Yeah? Sometimes we associate a sound, with a snake, and then we look up and then see it's a little chincho, yeah? Little reptile. Yeah? How do you call it, salamander or whatever it is, yeah? So, our pattern matching doesn't work all the time right, yeah? In most of the cases it works right, when we have open our eyes, most of the time we see correctly, okay, this is a human being, this is an animal, this is a dog, yeah? But this association, this comes from memory, yeah? But when we close our eyes, it is very often wrong, yeah? We hear something, we associate it with something else. Yeah? So these things are not me, not mine, and not myself. Yeah? Just like the feeling that I have. Dukkha vedana, the feeling of painful feeling, it's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. Yeah? And a lot of dukkha that we have, yeah? Especially when we live together as a group, yeah, we don't like what he says, or we don't think that what he does, is right, yeah? Comes from our views and opinions, yeah? And that creates dukkha, because we think that other person is not right. We never think we are not right, yeah? Actually, the first thought, am I right? Yeah? How can I be sure that I'm right? Huh? We never ask this question. We always say, the other person is not right, and then we get into a quarrel, yeah? And that creates dukkha, huh? We defend something that we believe we are. But actually, when we do investigation, we should know that we are not these things, because these things are changing all the time. Our views and opinions change, change constantly. Hmm? And the bigger changes we can see when we look back 5 years, huh? Or 10 years. Huh? Our body constantly changes. Our feeling changes constantly. Yeah? Now it's a nice feeling, now it's a bad feeling, then it's a neutral feeling, then it's a nice feeling again, then it's a bad feeling, and it's a neutral feeling. Yeah? So why do we attach to these phenomena? Huh? Ask yourself, why do I attach to this feeling? Just say there's a feeling and then look at it, and the moment you look at it, observe it, with the Buddha in mind or with your attention on the breath, it's gone. And the next feeling comes up. And thought even, you know, even is much quicker, you know. I mean, this thought, you know, just pops up and goes, yeah? Pops up and goes, pops and goes, yeah? But we attach to the thought, then this prolongs it. The moment we attach to a feeling, it prolongs it. Huh? It prolongs it because we think about the feeling, we memorize about the feeling, you know, and that prolongs it, you know, stay. If it is a bad feeling, why does it come now? You know, what did I do wrong? Isn't that the question we sometimes ask? What did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. The only thing that you did wrong is that you didn't say, there is a feeling. That's the only thing that you did wrong. You associated with the feeling. You say, there's a feeling, there's an unpleasant feeling, there's a good feeling, you know. It has nothing to do with me. I just observe these things. That's what our practice is all about. Observing these things and understanding, you know, asking the right questions, yeah, for instance, you know, with the investigation of painful feeling, asking the right question to understand the nature of this phenomena. But we cannot understand the nature of the phenomena if we don't disassociate from this phenomena. If I say, I'm sick, then I cannot investigate it. When I say, I'm unhappy, I cannot investigate it because that's the end of the matter. Huh? But if you say there's an unhappy feeling, then I can look it, then I can feel it. And that is the first thing that we have to do with a feeling. We have to feel it. Yeah. When it's a painful feeling, we have to feel the pain, embrace the pain, until we can ask the questions. If we don't want it, you know, I mean, there is no investigation going on. Yeah. All our investigation is going on, who produced this bad feeling? Yeah. Was it this other person who said something bad about you and this memory came up, you know, that produced this bad feeling? And we look, you know, we look for somebody who is guilty. We look for a scapegoat. But there is no scapegoat, you know. I mean, we are the ones who are responsible for whatever happens within us. And we are responsible, you know, for how we deal with these things, with the things that come up. Yeah? This is something we really have to understand. There is, yeah? But we don't want to know. We just want to keep on dreaming, living in a world of illusion, you know, because the illusion is nice, yes, of course it is nice, yeah? The illusion that we live in, you know, I mean, everything is fine, I'm a good person, you know, it's an illusion. We're not only a good person, we also have evil in our heart. Otherwise you wouldn't be born as a human being or actually appear in any kind of realms except for the Anagami realms. Yeah? So if you are born as a human being or if you are born as an animal or a deva or ghost, you know, or whatever, you know, I mean, there's some good and there's some bad within us. Yeah? So we don't have to just, yeah? But we don't want to see it. Yeah? We want to think about ourselves, you know, to be clever, to be smart, to be good. Yeah? And we don't want to see the other side. But that has nothing to do with practice. Yeah? Practice is looking what is there. Yeah? And if we see, you know, there's evil in our heart, you know, then find the cause for this evil, yeah? And then get rid of the cause. Yeah? And we do that with investigation. We look at it, yeah? Just like we look at it, you know, Dukkha Vedana, oh, there's a painful feeling, it's so painful, I can't sit anymore. I mean, we only caught the train at the end, you know, when it was too late. Yeah, we didn't catch the train when it starts to roll up its engine or when it starts to fire up its engine. Huh? what do I normally say, you know, when investigating painful feeling? Before the painful feeling even arises, there's a feeling of discomfort and there's a thought coming, oh, this is discomfortable. And then 2 or 3 minutes later, the next thought comes. Yeah? If we have sati, we can see it. Yeah? Oh, this is really discomfortable. And then 1 minute later comes another thought, and then there comes another thought, and there comes a memory, and then we say, oh, it is too painful, I can't sit anymore. Yeah? If we catch it in the beginning, once the kilesas are firing up this, you know, this deception, we can easily, you know, get rid of it. Said, oh, I'm not interested. And then, poops, there's no afterburn. Yeah? I mean, it is just like putting, you know, putting water on the fire that the kilesas are burning up. Yeah? And then the fire dies down. And there's no dukkha vedana. Huh? But we don't catch it. And that's why we have to fight it. Yeah? It is okay. Yeah? If we don't have enough sati, you know, I mean, then we have to fight it with investigating it. Yeah? Okay, there's dukkha vedana. How does it feel? And that we can do with every kind of feeling. If we train ourselves and if we get wise, you know, if we get skillful with investigating dukkha vedana, I mean, we can do it with any kind of feeling. Be it loneliness, be it fear, be it alive. Yeah? So we don't have to run away from it, or we don't have to find, you know, if then else, you know, if I have this kind of feeling, I have to do this, yeah? Or I have to do that, I have to distract myself. But of course, yeah, I mean, our upbringing is, you know, we don't want to know about all these unpleasant things, yeah? We only want to run after, you know, the pleasant thing. Yeah? Remember this German Dachshund, yeah? Huh? I mean, you put a sausage in front of his nose, yeah, and a tin can at his tail, and he will run and run and run forever. Yeah? He runs after the pleasant feelings, and he runs away from the unpleasant feeling. And that is our life. Yeah? Remember the one sutta, you know, where the Lord Buddha stopped. What was it, Angulimala? Huh? I've stopped running. Yeah. Right, because Angulimala said, well, Lord Buddha, why are you running? Why are you running? Huh? And then Lord Buddha answered, I stopped running after good things and not running away from evil things. Yeah, but you haven't stopped. Yeah, something like that. Huh? And we are running after these pleasant experiences, and we don't want to know about these unpleasant experiences, so we are very unlikely, you know, to investigate them further. But it is our task, you know, as practitioners to investigate it, you know, to investigate whatever comes up, yeah, when we do investigation, huh? Unless it is so painful that we can't, you know, that we can't concentrate on the Buddha or the breath anymore. And then we start to investigate dukkha vedana. And that is also, you know, not wanting to see all these unpleasant occurrences in our life, is that why we don't do this daily reflection. Huh? Or if we do it, you know, we don't do it detailed. Because we don't want to see. We actually don't want to see what is happening. We don't actually want to see, you know, how we react, you know, how do we defend ourselves, and how painful this defending ourselves is. Yeah? Each time, you know, the Ajahn says something, you know, I instantly, you know, the defense always comes up. Boops! Yeah? I mean, it's so fast. Huh? Oh, I didn't do that. Huh? I didn't do that. I was... Huh? It instantly comes up, yeah? And this is something that we have to break down, yeah? We have to get rid of it. And reflection, huh? Reflection teaches us where it comes from, yeah? And it always comes from a self-view. Huh? I mean, you don't defend something that you're not sure of, that you don't think you are. Oh, I'm clever, you know, and if I say you're stupid, you know, I mean, you instantly have to defend it, yeah? Oh, I'm not stupid, you know. Doesn't matter. I mean, stupid, you know, and clever, you know, are just attributes, you know, somebody uses to describe us, yeah? Or it is used, you know, to describe ourselves when we think about ourselves. And the description of another person, if you, I mean, you lived long enough to be able to notice that the description of another person normally does not match our description of ourselves, huh? Have you noticed that? Huh? Some people think like this, some other people think like that about us, huh? But it, sometimes it matches, you know, if it matches, you know, it's our friend, if it doesn't match, it's our enemy. Huh? And then we have to fight the enemy. I mean, this is his opinion, and our opinion of ourselves is our opinion. It's still an opinion. It is not, has nothing to do with reality. So we can go, you know. When we see that, you know, when we see in the daily reflection, we see, we defend ourselves, and then ask him, what are you defending? Yeah, I mean, these feelings constantly change, my thoughts constantly change, my memories constantly change, so what am I defending? Am I defending the cloud that comes pass by, you know, over the monastery, yeah, the dark cloud, yeah? Or am I defending the sun, or what am I defending? These are phenomena, yeah? That's where the principle of anatta comes in. Huh? But we don't want to see this because it you know, it gives rise to unpleasant feelings, yeah? So remember one thing, you know, if you want to overcome, yeah, if you want to overcome these unpleasant feelings, or if you want to overcome dukkha, you have to go through the most painful dukkha, yeah? And understand the nature of dukkha. It's the same thing. If you want to overcome hell, you have to swim through the fires of hell. Yeah. I hope you understand it. Yeah. It is your life. Yeah. Use it wisely. Yeah? So, with this, I finish the talk. Any questions? Use it. Yeah. Yeah.
This daily reflection is very hard.
Yeah.
And especially when they have a very busy day with many things happening, and especially sometimes when I sit in samadhi, then many things come up.
Yeah.
And then after you start the daily
reflection, I mean, skip for the moment, you know, the meditation. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking when I do meditation, sometimes a lot of things come up.
Yeah.
And after that, the actual part exhausted to
what?
This daily reflection at the end, it's almost impossible sometimes for me.
Well, you have to force it. Yeah. I mean, the kilesas hate it.
Yeah. That's why.
The kilesas hate it so much. Yeah, that's why we skip over it. Yeah. And why they bring up all sorts of reasons why we don't have to do it, or why we can skip it today, nothing happened today, you know, I mean, everything was fine, but actually wasn't fine. If they say everything was fine, I mean, a shrill alarm clock should, you know, sound, yeah? I mean, something must have been gone wrong, yeah? try it, yeah? I mean, it is not easy in the beginning, yeah? I mean, just, you know, most of the time you do sitting meditation, walking meditation, then you just look at the sitting meditation, okay, and then go to the next thing. What did I do after the sitting meditation? Or importantly, yeah, most important, yeah, why did I get up? Yeah? Why did I stop meditating? Yeah? And what did I do then? Yeah? Oh, I wasted my energy thinking about this or doing that, yeah? This is the important thing, you know. It's not to judge, you know, if we are doing good or bad, you know. It's just to see what is going on, how the kilesas fool us or deceive us. Huh? And this you can do, you know. I mean, how can a person in the world do this, you know? So many things are happening, all these smells and sounds and, you know, visions are coming up. I could do it, you know. Huh? If you want, you can do anything. But we don't want to. Huh? That's not important. It's not important. You know, who says that? Kilesas. Hmm? Constant practice, yeah, makes us better. Huh? Well, what was the German phrase? I even forgot the German phrase. Anyway. Wer stetig sich bemüht, dem wird es auch gelingen. Huh? Understood? Who constantly tries, you know, he will succeed. Huh? It's true. I mean, we know that. I mean, we learn to walk, we learn to talk. We learn to write and we learn to read. It wasn't easy. Huh? But we constantly tried it, and suddenly we just succeeded. Yeah? And that's the same thing with daily reflection. Huh?